You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Multidimensional Health with Dr. Tony provides a truly holistic overview of health and vital well-being that will assist you in living your best life. Each week, she brings you fascinating topics about the Law of Attraction, Eastern medicine, as well as energy medicine that will help you to release physical and emotional blocks. It's time to create a truly magical life full of abundance, health, love, and happiness. Dr. Tony has the answers you have been waiting for.
Welcome to Multidimensional Health with Dr. Tony. I am really happy you're joining me today. On today's show, we're going to be talking about the love languages of grief. Grief comes with an array of complicated feelings, and many people can become overwhelmed by the grieving process' unexpected intense emotions. However, when it comes to mourning, be it the loss of a job, a home, a loved one, or even a lifestyle, and how others can best help us during this time, there is no right way to do it. Every person and every loss is unique. And after a significant loss, what we think and feel inside, and in what ways we're able to express those thoughts and feelings, and how we feel supported by others vary from person to person and loss to loss. Yet, a healthy technique for managing grief is applying Dr. Gary Chapman's approach called the Five Love Languages. On this fantastic show, my guest and dear friend Grace Liang will talk to us about how we can apply this technique to support us through our grieving process. Grace is an expert and grief counselor that helps her clients persevere through life challenges. That's because she knows what it is to experience struggle and loss and overcome it. Now she lives her dream life after overcoming poverty, family abuse, domestic violence, moving to a foreign country, and losing her husband to cancer. She knows what it is to bring you hope and inspire you to thrive. And to learn more about Grace, don't forget to visit her website at activateyourinnerpower.com. Welcome, Grace, to the show. I am so happy you're here.
Yeah, I'm so happy too. Like, I'm now it's regular.
I know. I love it. And I know we're going to have a great show today. Today is a topic that I really love, and I've been I'm familiar with it for many years, and I just didn't know you could use it for grief. So I'm really happy to hear that we're going to talk about the five love languages, and you're going to tell us how we can use it to grieve and help us get through the process faster and to be happier faster. So take it away. Let's see what you can show us about that.
Yeah, cool. Actually, you know, one morning when I wake up, like, you know, why don't we use this? Mm-hmm. Because for me, I believe grief is part of love. Yes. Grief, it is love. And if grief is love, then definitely we can use five love languages, mm-hmm. right? But before we really cannot talk about how we use these five love languages to guide you through grief, I want to kind of, you know, put a little more foundation there.
Yes, that would be great. A lot of people yeah. don't know what the five love languages are, so it would be great if we start there. Yeah,
sure. So first, I want to say, if you haven't read that book, which is Five Love Languages, I think they have some subtitle like the love less. You know, I don't even remember the subtitle, but if you search Five Love Languages by Dr. Gary Chapman, mm-hmm. he wrote so many books about relationships. It's everything he develops is based on this method about five love languages. So just a little background to how he come up with this. So in his early years as a marriage counselor, of course, have seen so many real love story, you know, kind of in the real life suffering. So he noticed one pattern. You know, one person say, "I don't feel loved from my partner." Mm-hmm. And the partner said, "I did everything I can. I don't understand why that person doesn't feel I love that person." So he noticed there's something doesn't match. Mm-hmm. And based on all those studies, so he came out with one theory as, you know, actually everybody has different love languages. When we don't speak the same language, we have a hard time to communicate. So the five love languages, he put it into like, first is the words of affirmation. Mm-hmm. Basically, this type of person really care about how people speak to them. For example, this type of person need a lot of I love you, you're amazing, you did great job, I really appreciate you type of thing. And then next one will be act of service. Mm-hmm. So this type of person is, they believe, you know, words doesn't mean much. Action counts.
Yeah, show me.
You say, yeah, show me. Yeah, do something. Show me. I don't care how sweet words you speak to me. I'll not take it seriously. Must be action. Yeah. And then receiving gifts is number three. A lot of people say, oh, it's a receiving gift is a part of the acts of service. It can be a set point, but it's a different. Mm-hmm. Receiving gifts pretty much means this person need to hold some physical object to feel the love behind it. It don't have to be very expensive, but need to be something. Especially if you can come up some very unique, meaningful gift, oh, that person will be so happy. Okay? And then the third one is quality time. Basically, if you are the person need a quality time, means, okay, eyes on me, TV's off, phone put on, do not disturb, let's really talk.
Yeah, focus and on that, me.
Yeah, focus on me. That's the quality time. And then the number five is physical touch. This type of people are really craving about physical touch, not just say, you know, intimate touch, it can be many. Like pat on the back, hold hand, hug, kiss, cuddling. So those are five very common love languages. So Tony,
so what's your love language?
I know you want to ask me, I just want to ask you. How about this? You guess me, I will guess yours. So you can get it right.
I have quality time, I suppose, or I don't know. I'm just guessing.
You're so right. Yes, yeah. Yes, yes. Quality time. No, I'm like, I don't know, Tony. I need to, let me see. What is it yours? Is it yours? Is it quality time too?
Yeah, quality time and physical touch, but mostly quality time. Yeah.
Wow, yeah. Wow. Mine is quality time and then act of service.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, as I have grown, it seems like I get more, I value all of them in a certain way. And so act of service too, because in the beginning, it was all quality time when I first did it. And that was when that was like, I don't know, 12, 13 years ago. And now as I've grown, it seems like I appreciate all of them because they have something to give me. And so it's very hard to pick one now, you know, to limit it. But if I had to, I had to pick quality time.
Me too. I know. So just in case if you're wondering like, oh, how do I know? So you could type into five love languages quiz, which is pretty simple. You can just get what your result. But most people, based on the definition, they can figure it out what kind of love language they have. So that I actually raised that one question. You know, some people ask me, said, hey, do you think our love languages can change? I believe yes. Because love language is kind of like personality. It's based on your personality, your cultural background, your many things. So if your personality or your point of view about life can change, then your love language can change too. So just, you know, as everything in life, have open mind. Like you said, like, you know, 13 years ago, yours is elbow quality time. Now you found it, oh, other love language actually, you know, start to really raise that too. So now let's talk about how can we actually use these five love languages to guide us through our grieving journey. I think we're going to talk about from different angle. From if we are the person who is going through grief, like me, I lost my husband, or if you know someone in your family or your close friends is going through it, so you will know how to support them in a better way. Yeah. So, first, I want to say, if this person's love language is words of affirmation, then this person probably feels most supported by the words that are very kind and very encouraging. So, for example, first of all, I always want to say what we do if we are the person going through grief, because I always feel like when we talk about taking 100% responsibility, is how we know who we are and how we know can do it by ourselves. And then the second step will be we ask for help, right? So the first one, I want to suggest everybody to do one thing, which is we call mirror exercise. So Tony, you're pretty familiar with mirror exercise, right?
Yes. I love it. I love it, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you are not sure what's a mirror exercise, basically you talk to yourself in the mirror and do not cheat. You have to really look into your own eyes. Mm-hmm. You will not be surprised. You will not, many times so many people tell me, my God, this is so difficult because they can't look into their own eyes to really have a very intimate, deep talk. So that is kind of like, oh my gosh, how much we have ignored ourselves.
I know.
So looking in the mirror, look into your eyes, starting with collecting some small wins of that day. Okay, not big, not giant, big victory, small wins. For example, if you're going through grief, you know every small thing counts. If you're like, okay, last night, actually, I did not stay up to 2 a.m. to go to bed. Mm-hmm. Actually, I went to bed at 1:30. That is big victory, okay? So we collect all those small ones, or like, okay, actually, today, I cook for myself. Mm-hmm. That's a big thing for people going through grief alone. Yeah. So start from here. Whatever you can, one, two, three, how many things you can come up and look into your eyes, tell yourself, good job. Mm-hmm. You did really good on that. And then after everything, you can talk about like, then acknowledge all the challenges and you have overcome. Like, oh, today, at the moment when I watch TV, I see a love story and I just start to feel so bad about myself because I lost my late husband. But I instantly realized that's my responsibility to choose how I feel. So I decided, you know what? I lost it, but I will create again in the future. Although I don't know when, how, who that person will be involved, but I know it will happen. Things like that.
Okay? So what you're saying is if your love language is words of affirmations, you're affirming yourself by talking to yourself.
Got it. Yes, okay, yes, yes. Because we really, if people really primary love language is words of affirmation, they constantly needed this as a support. Yeah. And then make sure I'd end, look into your eyes, say at least three times, you say, I love you. And then sometimes I even say, I really, really love you. So that's a really good way to continue bring this support to yourself.
That's great. Now,
yeah. So other than you really use words of affirmation on yourself, you can ask your family and friends to tell them, give them a little education. Say, hey, among all the love support you give it to me, the words of encouragement is the best at this moment. Could you please just catch what I did good, or just tell me how much you love me, how much you care about me, and you're there, with me, all kind of things. So a lot of times people don't know what to do.
Yes.
If you really tell them what exactly you want, they were like, thank you, thank you, thank you. No, I know how to take care of you.
Yeah, because nobody is mind readers, right? And we're all uncomfortable when somebody loses a loved one. We don't know what to do, what to say. And so if we take responsibility for ourselves and tell the people we love, this is what will help me, it's okay to ask. You know, a lot of people are afraid to ask and say, well, they should read my mind, or they should know, or
no one can.
No one can, or I feel like, oh, I feel ashamed and I don't want to ask, or you know, I don't want to feel needy. But the truth is, we all need support. And so yeah. we can take our own responsibility and ask for what we need during those mm-hmm. times of grief. Yeah, that's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Very cool. So the second one, if you are the person, your primary love language is acts of service. So if you're the person, this is your number one. Mm-hmm. So most time you feel like the action speaks more loudly than words. Mm-hmm. So probably what you want to do is you actually have a new routine to take care of yourself. So again, how you love yourself, right? How mm-hmm. you take the action, how you do the acts of service to yourself. It kind of like, you know, like for example, if you normally even don't have the money to go to spa to treat yourself, mm-hmm. but when you go through a grief, you may have to like, you know what, I am going to treat myself very well just for mm-hmm. once of, mm-hmm. you know, 6 months, whatever. I want to feel that. I yeah. want to feel that being taken care of. Yeah. So do something for yourself. But again, for this part, I would say just really, really ask people. Like me, this is my secondary love language. I remember something really helped me is my stepdaughter and her fiance after my late husband passed away. They visit me almost every weekend. They help me taking care of my yard work, do a lot of repair around the house. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so those are real, real help. Mm-hmm. So if you have someone in your life right now is grieving, so do something like that.
Yeah, even bring them, you know, food, because they might not have the energy to cook for themselves.
Yes, yeah, that's something I about to say, you know, bring food, help them to do grocery shopping, take them to the doctor, many, many things, help them mm-hmm. to walk dog. It's many, many things you could do. So the thing is, a lot of people start like here, like, oh, call me when you need help. Mm-hmm. They don't understand is when people in grief, we don't reach out that easily. We're mm-hmm. just kind of like locked in mm-hmm. this mm-hmm. ourselves. So. Mm-hmm. Just go, you know, go out of their way to help. That's yes. that's better way to do it. Yeah. So that's act of service. Now, if someone primary love language is receiving gifts, okay, this part, if you want to do it by yourself, I would say what I did after my late husband passed away. This is not my primary love language, but no one really hate gifts, right? So I remember I discovered he has a credit card, has a lot of points there. Mm-hmm. And I remember I used his points, redeemed quite a big amount of shopping gift cards at Nordstrom. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, you know, they sent it. I totally forgot. Mm-hmm. I don't remember how long, a couple of weeks later, I receive it, like, yay!
Like, you know, a nice gift.
I know, like, wow, that's, what a surprise. I already forgot about it. What a surprise. And I feel mm-hmm. like, I remember it was very interesting is, the gift card, somehow I put a note. I put note is love from, you know, so-and-so, my late husband's uh-huh. name.
Oh, so it felt like, oh, that was amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I didn't even think about that much, but at that moment, yeah, this is, he left for me. This mm-hmm. is love. So when I received it, I was like, oh, just so happy like that. Now, you can do other things is you could schedule gifts for yourself. Mm-hmm. You could even ask your family member, hey, you know, I will give you this money, but make sure by special date, can you help me order something, send it to me or mm-hmm. bring to me? Mm-hmm. If you say, that just sounds so fake, you know, it's my money, it didn't do much, then you may want to think about some way like, okay, can I ask my family friends very directly to tell mm-hmm. them, I'm not asking you to spend lots of money. Mm-hmm. I'm just asking you to show me somehow a small physical object, mm-hmm. you know, flowers, plans, mm-hmm. you know, a music, a book, whatever. It doesn't cost that much, but mm-hmm. shows you care about mm-hmm. me. And that's what they really want.
Yeah.
So I'm, again, when you ask this, when you give them very clear directions, the family member will do it because yes. it's really not big favor yeah. to ask.
And they want to help. They just don't know. Mm-hmm. So let's, again, take responsibility for our lives and ask for what we want and need.
Yes, yeah. yes. Very good. So the next one, quality time. So Tony, you and me, we both, our primary language is quality time. So I remember my quality time when I was married to my late husband is we enjoy our dinner time mm-hmm. so much. He was a good cook. I'm a good cook. You know, we cook together. And then we always have a long dinner time. We just keep talking, you know, just laughing and drinking. After cleaning, we may even bring our wine mm-hmm. to the backyard, sit next to the pool, continue talking. So it's hours, hours long bonding mm-hmm. time together. So that was the hardest time for me after he passed away. Yeah. I live alone mm-hmm. and I eat alone. I'm like, I don't want to eat. I mm-hmm. want somebody mm-hmm. there to talk to me. But it's not everybody talk to me. I will feel that bonding.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, then what can I do about this? Majority time I care is about a quality conversation. Mm-hmm. So like, okay, then how can I do that? So later I figured out a way is I really love Audible.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I listen to great books now every, I mean, right now, 3.5 years later, every single meal I'm eating by myself, my Audible is on. I mm-hmm. listen to my book because I feel that, couldn't say a conversation, but at least something is very meaningful and I can learn a lot.
Yes.
So that's something helped me with this. Mm-hmm. So, Tony, if that's you, what do you think you can do?
So one of the things, because I'm in the same boat, like you say, quality time is my time, and also mm-hmm. dinner time and cooking with somebody, that's my big thing. So right mm-hmm. now that I don't have that, especially with COVID and I'm alone and everything, is meditation. It's quality time with myself. It was very mm-hmm. hard to get into, to understand that, you know, quality time with myself, because I was associated mm-hmm. quality time with somebody else, you know. And so, yes, meditation has been helping me. It took a while. And mm-hmm. but now it's like, oh, if I start to feel low, I go and have quality time with myself. But I also call my friends and I ask them to come over or mm-hmm. or to talk on the phone or something. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't have to be a long conversation because it's about the quality time, not about the mm-hmm. amount. And mm-hmm. so, again, I take responsibility for my life and I ask for what I need, which is I'm alone. I need somebody. Mm-hmm. somebody. Or I have my son go for a walk with me.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, so the key is ask if we need a company. Mm-hmm. But I think you really bring up a very, very important point is grief. Mm-hmm. I want to say grief is part of the love. Here I have to pause a little bit because I want to share another very important thing about love and grief. Mm-hmm. Love for me, it's a full cycle of four stages. Mm-hmm. Okay, first one, love was born. This love can be born as blood related, right? Your family members. Mm-hmm. It can be a romantic love, mm-hmm. right? But it's just at the beginning. It's the first started. And then second part is developing or growing. Uh-huh. And this stage can be lifelong. So many ups and downs. This is real life, right?
Yeah.
And then at some point, love dies. Mm-hmm. It's just like a death for a human. Mm-hmm. Love dies too. Like I lost my late husband, or people divorce, mm-hmm. or people break up, mm-hmm. or people just somehow, you know, this person just faded out from your life, just not in this picture anymore. So all of this is the stage of love died. Mm-hmm. Okay, so anytime love died, go through to the next stage, which is the final stage for this love circle or mm-hmm. cycle, is grief. Everybody needs a certain time period to grieve, mm-hmm. to find meaning, to accept it, to recover, and start another new life cycle mm-hmm. again. Mm-hmm. But in the first three stages, the love, always not just you, always somebody else involved. Mm-hmm. You guys somehow walking together on that journey. But the last one, only you.
Yes.
So the last one is not walking towards to anybody or anywhere anymore. Actually, the last one, grieving, is walking back towards who you are. Mm-hmm. And that's why grief can be such a great opportunity to learn mm-hmm. and to grow.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, so just it kind of plug in. And it is very, very important to spend quality time with yourself. And that's what I say, the self-love part. Mm-hmm. So let's brainstorm what we call quality time, right? For mm-hmm. me, my alternative quality time other than spend time with my late husband, talk for a long time, is listening to books. Mm-hmm. For you, is meditation. Anything else you think we can help people come up with some idea?
Going for a walk by yourself and appreciating nature. Observing yes. the colors that are there for you and the mm-hmm. you know the scent and everything around you, just when you pay attention, they just seem brighter and it lifts your mood up. That's one of the things that I love of going for a walk in nature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think another thing you can think about is I actually writing a journal.
So oh, that's right. Yes.
Yeah, because that's a self-reflection. Mm-hmm. Actually, is a very great coping method mm-hmm. my whole book I wrote is during the whole time each week I write something to kind of record my mm-hmm. grieving process, so that would be something to do too. And then of course you could go to gym, spend some yeah. quality time with yourself mm-hmm. do yoga, right? That's very good quality time.
Swimming, you know, go
swimming
to
yes yeah or solo travel. Mm-hmm. That's something I did a lot too at the beginning. Yeah. So very good. I think here we gave people a lot of great suggestions about ideas how to do quality time alone.
You okay, can cook. So, cook could be a quality time too.
Yes. Totally. Yeah. You know, in my book, there's one quote from me is, cook for others is pure love. Cook for yourself is pure self-love.
Oh, that's awesome. That's yeah, great. So, I love that.
Yeah, yeah.
And you and I love cooking, so we find this passion about the scents and the colors, and it just makes you happy. You know. It's
a, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. That's very great. True. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the last one, physical mm-hmm. touch. This one can be a little difficult if this is your primary mm-hmm. language, because it is that person just not there, mm-hmm. and no one can replace. You feel like that. But actually, we could do a lot of things, still maintain this physical touch is, mm-hmm. for example, volunteer. Volunteer at a animal rescue center or adopt a mm-hmm. dog or cat or something. Volunteer at whatever, you know, the society needs it for the little kids, for older people. Because what I realize is when you're in your darkest time, what really can cheer you up actually is giving love mm-hmm. to people, even in a worse place than you are.
Stepping and outside yourself.
Yeah. And then you receive so much love and appreciation from those people or things or animals you helped. Mm-hmm. And most time they pat on your back, they give you a hug, yeah. they just make you feel good about it. Mm-hmm. So that's something, if your primary love language is physical touch, that's something you can do. And of course, you can ask your family, friends, tell them that, you know, at this time period, probably I will need a lot more physical touches. You know, if you can just, you know, come to me a little more often, mm-hmm. pat on my back, you
hug.
Know, or just, yeah, hug. Yeah, that'll be good. I remember I read somewhere, there's an older lady. She's so cute. I think that probably physical touch is her primary love language. She said, when I'm really craving this, I just stand on the street and put a sign, free hugs. And people come to her.
Yeah, no one's going to turn down a hug. Yeah.
No. So people just give her a hug and she feels so good. And the other people feel so good too. So why not,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah, you're giving too. So that's great. Well, another great thing is like, it is okay to give yourself massage, you know, touch your arms and your face and your heart and wherever the meridians are, you know, and just squeeze a little bit. And that's, you know, that's great. It's helps your health and your emotions too.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, you get a real massage helps a lot too.
That's true.
So when you're going through grief, if you can do like twice a month or once a week massage, oh, that will help you so much.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is my idea about how to use five love languages to go through grief with suffering less and healing faster.
I love it. I never thought about using them in that way, but I love it. I'm glad that you were on the show and that you taught us this because I didn't even think about it. So it's great. I think it's great ideas for everybody. So this is awesome. So thank you. Thank you for joining us today and showing us that.
Oh, thank you. It's always a pleasure to be on your show and I can't wait to come back again.
All right. Sounds great. And thank you all for joining us today. Again, if you want to learn more about Grace and her classes and coaching sessions, visit her website at activateyourinnerpower.com. All one word. And if you have any questions, email me at contacttony@dsanddavidrsandrosetonycamacho.com or visit my website at www.dsanddavidrsandrosetonycamacho.com. And I'll see you all.
Thank you for tuning into Multidimensional Health Show. For more information or to schedule a private consultation, go to www.drtonycamacho.com. Have a great week.